You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, Ricardo Gonçalves with SBS On The Money for this Friday, the 26th of February 2021. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, Australian News is back on Facebook, but what of its reputation? But first to the Australian share market, which had its worst one-day fall in 5 months. $51 billion lost on the value of our biggest companies on the back of interest rate fears, which we'll tell you in a bit. The 200 down 2.3%, 6673. Tech stocks are hardest hit today. Right across the board, really, the miners and banks also losing ground. One bright spot was AMP up 7.5%. It sold part of its capital business to US-based Ares Capital. For more on the day's action, including an explanation of these interest rate fears, because they've all got to do with bonds, I spoke earlier with Investors Mutual Investment Director Anton Tagliaferro. Anton, the market's taken a big hit today. Why?
Look, it's been ongoing for a few days. Interest rates are going up if you look at bond yields. So what's happened is central banks around the world lowered rates to zero. You've seen commodity prices like oil, copper, everything's been very strong. People are worried about inflation, and hence they're worried about the future direction of interest rates. So bond yields are going up.
So what's the correlation between those future interest rates and the share market?
Well, look, obviously the share market's had a huge run since last March, since the sell-off. Part of that was due to central banks all around the world lowering rates to zero and flooding the system with cash. Obviously, that helps asset prices go up. So we've seen, you know, share prices rally very hard. We've seen house prices in Sydney go through the roof. You know, a lot of things are linked to interest rates. So when the share market fears interest rates going up, it tends to make investors very nervous.
And run us through why the market's now thinking interest rates are going to start rising potentially earlier than first thought.
Well, again, if you look to the actions of the central banks and governments, they've managed the recovery, you know, in the middle of a pandemic. Not only have they managed the recovery, but you've had booms, you know, booms in things like the NASDAQ, booms in things like house prices. And that's really as a consequence of zero, partly, a great part of it is zero interest rates. If you start contemplating that interest rates are going to go up, you know, and because inflation is moving up, so central banks may have to move sooner than expected, that's not very necessarily very good for asset prices.
So given this changing sentiment, right, does it change your view of where the market is going?
Look, as I said, the market's been buoyed by various things, some of them sort of artificial. You know, the fiscal stimulus is a one-off hit, the quantitative easing from central banks where they've been basically printing money and flooding the system with cash, you know, that can't last forever. And certainly zero interest rates can't last forever. So at some point, you know, we needed to have some sort of correction. I think that the biggest concern, if I was a share investor, is if you own very speculative company. I mean, if you own good solid companies, they tend to come through okay. It's all the froth and bubble, you know, which you see in the share prices of things like Afterpay, WiseTech, you know, which in our opinion are hugely overvalued. And then if you look at the US market, you look at the valuation of Tesla, for example, and it makes absolutely no sense when it was valued at say $800 billion. And then you look at something like Daimler-Benz, which has been around for, you know, 100 years. It's valued at $80 billion. And Daimler-Benz makes 2 million cars a year, and Tesla barely makes 500,000 cars a year. So, look, we've had this froth in a lot of the speculative companies. So that's where I'd expect the biggest correction to happen.
Okay, a couple of bits of commentary on profit reporting season. It's pretty much coming to an end. What's your take on what we've seen?
Look, it's been overall quite a good profit reporting season. Obviously, the impact of COVID, you know, is all over. Every company's been impacted by COVID. So, for example, obviously, the retailers have seen their sales boom because, you know, people are spending more at Harvey Norman or JB Hi-Fi. The online guys like Kogan as well have done, you know, seen their sales boom. The supermarkets have seen their sales boom. Again, you know, one's got to be a bit cautious with those numbers because they're not sustainable as we eventually get back to normal. On the other hand, you've had obviously big losses from companies like Flight Centre, Qantas, et cetera, Sydney Airport, you know, which have been very badly impacted by the pandemic because there are no volumes. There's no one flying much and there's no one staying in booking through Flight Centre or landing much at Sydney Airport. So, you know, it's been a very mixed reporting season. One side booming because of all the stimulus and the low interest rates, and some other stocks really suffering.
Anton Tagliaferro there from Investors Mutual. Now to Facebook, which has reversed a one-week decision to block Australian users from accessing and sharing local news. But what have these moves done to consumers' appetite for the site and Twitch reputation? For more on that, I spoke with Advertising Creative Director Karen Ferry. Karen, now that Australian users can share and access news on Facebook again, what do you think will happen, though? Will advertisers continue to be on the platform?
Yeah, I think that it never really impacted advertisers. You look at the majority of companies that are advertising on Facebook, and they're usually like brands or products. And for them, it's really just about going to where there are lots of people so they can get viewerships. So advertisers have... the majority don't really care about the politics of the platforms they're on, whether it's Murdoch Press or whether it's a small independent. For them, it's just about viewer numbers and about the exposure to the most amount of Australians that they can get.
What about the Facebook brand, though? You don't think it's been damaged?
I think it's been damaged from a consumer point of view, which is going to be interesting when we start to look at long-term users and how they're going to stay on the platform or not use it. I think it's shown Australians that Facebook, for all they're talking about how they can't remove fake news, they can remove real news. And then what's left is a platform that just perpetuates fake news. But also for me, going on there in those days that it was banned, it made me really wonder what kind of content I was absorbing. And I realized most of it was not the stuff that I was going on there for, which was actually just to hear from friends. It was just seeing like lots of just group posts and things that weren't really relevant. I think it gives people a chance to really question their relationship with Facebook, what they get out of it, and whether it's a company that they want in their lives every day. So I think we're going to see damage in that way, and that's going to be primarily in Australia.
So who actually uses Facebook these days, and what are they using it for? Is news really a big component? Because I think we heard from Facebook saying that only 4% of users use it for news.
Yeah, I think only 4% use it solely for news as their sole news source. But what we see is like so many Australians use it. So I think about 71% of Australians are on Facebook. Of that, 15 to 16 million are what they call active users. So people who are using it quite frequently. That is higher among a younger audience. So people under the age of 30 are four times more likely to be going on Facebook than someone at the age of 65. But, you know, it's still growing. So even if we look at Facebook's Q3 earnings for 2020, the amount of people in Asia Pacific as daily users was like about 720 million. And that's increasing every quarter. So they're getting more and more people on there, and people use it for everything. Most people say they use it to stay in touch with friends. A lot of people use it for product research. A lot of people use it to speak to brands. Entertainment's a big one, which is why you see lots of like, for me, I get served a lot of videos of dogs. And it's just the same way that we use social media. It's just kind of like an entertainment multi-use platform. There's no reason, you know, during the pandemic, 49% of Australians were using it to get coronavirus information along with other media like TV and such like that. But most Australians still use it as one of their sources of information, especially people who aren't heavily engaged in the news.
That is Karen Ferry there, Advertising Creative Director. But there is also the issue of scale when it comes to Facebook, and that also attracts advertisers. For more on that, I spoke with Macquarie Business School Marketing Lecturer Abbas Mirzai. So what's interesting then, I guess, is if we come to the point about whether advertisers will stick with Facebook, it's the fact that because it's so large and because of the algorithms, there's a potential to hit a targeted audience, that even though there's a potential for brand damage, advertisers will stick around?
Yes, that's the main point. Advertisers will use recent kind of promises by Facebook as an excuse to come back to Facebook. See how, for example, Facebook just announced that they will filter any comment about about Holocaust, I believe, or other kind of content that general public cannot really tolerate. So these promises made by Facebook will give advertisers a good reason to kind of justify their collaboration with Facebook because of that rich target audience, especially for multinational brands operating in a wide range of regions, because as we know, Facebook is growing super fast in India, Africa, and Middle East.
Abbas Mirzai there from the Macquarie Business School. That is SBS On The Money for this Friday. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Business Ricardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.